It's making sure you're alive today. Sometimes the Spirit hits you, just got to go with it, right? All right. Hey, I was going to have Pastor Tom dance, but I thought you might want to hear that instead. All right. Today we're glad we're kicking off this new series called Kickstart. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you need a kickstart. Sometimes we need a kickstart, right? Just to get things going. We all have dreams. We all want to know our purpose. And sometimes to get there, we need a kickstart to our purpose, a kickstart to our dreams, kickstart to the vision God's got for our life, kickstart to our faith. And sometimes we sit around doing nothing. We sit around dreaming. But we want to see a kickstart. Today, we're going to be talking about kickstarting our purpose, to kickstart our purpose. See, kickstart our purpose and God's dreams for our life. We need a purpose. Look at this now. We need a purpose and a process. We need both. You need a purpose. You got to find your purpose in life. But once you have a purpose, once you have a dream, that you also need a process. It's very important. You got to have the process. Many times in every believer's life, or even people in general, we have these great dreams, but we don't have a process. See, process helps us get things started. Where do you start in this purpose? Where do you start in this dream? See, many people have a purpose or a dream, but very few have a process. Very few have a process. This is what we're going to change, okay? This is what we're going in this series. We're going to kickstart this process, kickstart this happening. See, you can have a dream to be out of debt, but you don't have a process to get that done. It's just a dream, right? If I want to get out of debt, I want to live. How many want to have a debt-free life? Say, that's me. I want to live. See, a lot of people have that dream. I want to live debt-free. That'd be so nice. It's a dream of mine. We've always dreamed of living debt-free. We've always dreamed by the time we were 50 being debt-free. We always dreamed of this or whatever. We have all these things out there. But if you don't have a process, it's just a dream. See, the process starts, well, what do I do? Well, if I don't know what to do, then I'm going to maybe take something like Dave Ramsey, one of his courses. I'm going to sign up for Financial Peace University. I'm going to get a book and read about it. I'm going to get around somebody who's already accomplished that and ask them, how did you get out of debt? What happened? And they're going to teach me, all right, I start paying off the smallest debt I have first, and then I take that money and I double it over to the next biggest debt. And once that's paid off, I take that money and put it all to the next biggest debt. There's a plan to have that happen. I get rid of my credit cards, you know, and once I get all those taken care of, I just owe for my house, and then I start doubling up, and I start maybe putting a couple extra house payments a year, cutting down the interest so that within 10 years, maybe I can live my life debt-free. It's a process. You see, but I got to start somewhere. I can't just dream about living debt-free if I don't have a process to get there. I can have a dream to say, you know what? I want to lose 50 pounds, and I want to be in the best shape of my life. I want to be there as I eat that pizza, right? Not just one, but two or three pizzas, right? We do that, and we're like, man, I have a dream. I have a dream. I have a dream to do this. But without a process, it's just a dream. I can have a process. A process is what? I got to research what's my lifestyle I'm looking for. What's my healthy for me? What's the healthy look like for me? I figure that out. And once I establish that, then I get a plan. I meet with someone who has some insight, a dietitian, or a doctor, whoever. And I talk about getting a plan for my life. I sign up. Maybe I get a trainer, or I get download an app on my phone that helps me do that. I sign up for a gym. I go get rid of all the junk food I have in my house, and I find not just a diet, but I find what are things I can live with. What are things that will keep me motivated? What are things that I won't starve myself to death, but how can I just change my eating habits? And I study that out, and I start on Monday. I'm going to meal prep for the rest of my week so I know that I'm going to have healthy things and I have it lined up. So I have a process to follow this week. This process will eventually get me to the goal I want to have. Without that goal, it's just a dream. Without that process, it's just a dream. I can have a dream. I want to get a new job, and I want to have this degree, and I want to achieve this. And what's it take? Well, I go back to school. I can go back to school. Well, one of these days, when I get the time, I'm going to go back to school. What is it? So can I take a night class? Maybe it's just one class online that I have. I got to start that process. I got to enroll in school. I got accepted. Now I got to file for financial aid or file for a student loan so I can pay this and stay established. And now, all right, I got all that taken care of. Now I got to pick up my classes. I can do one or maybe two at night. I can do that. All right. It may take me longer to get there, but I've started the process. Without the process, I will never achieve my purpose. Are you hearing me? Without my process, I'll never achieve my purpose. I'll never achieve the dream. See, purpose without process, it's just a dream. Now, nothing wrong with dreams. I'm a dreamer. I like dreaming big dreams. I like dreaming all kinds of dreams. Those are great. But without a process, it's just a wish. It's just a dream. It's just, I would like to have that. Dreams are great. Dreams keep us motivated. Dreams keep us looking ahead. It's all right to dream, but you got to put a process in alignment with that dream. Align your purpose with the process. See, this whole series, we're going to be talking about aligning our purpose with God's process so that we can fulfill God's dream. Let's get to our text this morning. We're going to spend a lot of time talking in Jeremiah. It's a great, great text. Many of you know it. One of the most posted scriptures on refrigerators around America today. We put them on our signs in our house. We put them above our fireplace. You put them on your mirror. Let's look at this. It says, "For I know the plans." God said, "I know the plans." Everybody say plans. God's got a plan for your life. Do you realize that? Long before Drake ever declared it, God has a plan for your life. It's God's plan, right? Okay, God's got a plan. "I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for what? For good, not for disaster, and to give you a future and a hope." Now, in order to receive this scripture in a proper context, you got to understand the background and the history of why this is being said, where it's being said, because without that, it doesn't bring the proper faith-building material that you have today. But when you understand it, all right, God, this was a process that you were taking the children of Israel through, and this is the word you spoke to them in the middle of this process. What was that process? Remember, Babylon had come in and taken over Jerusalem, and now the people of Israel are living in exile, okay? So now they're living in exile. It says they took their homes, they took their farms, they took their livestock, took their jobs. I mean, they did all this. They exiled them out. And now they find themselves in exile. They had lost everything. And then God speaks to them at the very lowest and says, "I know my plans for you, and my plans are for good. My plans are not for you to be destroyed, but my plans for you are plans of goodness and to bring you a future and a hope." So what do you do when plan B takes over your life? Plan A, we're going to live here in Jerusalem. Plan A, we're going to multiply here in Jerusalem. We're going to have all these great things. I got all this vision. I got all these dreams. And all of a sudden, Babylon comes in, kicks us out. Now we're in exile. How do I live now? How do I worship God now? How do I dream now? How do I fulfill my purpose now when plan B comes into relation to your life? You see, what happened here was this. Plan B takes over. Then they had all these make-believe prophets who were walking around in Babylon. "Hey, don't worry." They're like, "Everything's going to be all right." And they're just walking around. "Hey, God, listen, God's going to, he's doing this, but we're only going to be here about a year and a half, 2 years, and then it's all going to be over, and then we'll be right back home." And you know, that's all great. You know, someone speaking, the Babylonians speaking to you and telling you, "Hey, it's all good. It's all good. The dreams, you know, it's still there, it's still alive." And look what the Bible says in Jeremiah 29, verses 8 and 9. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, don't you love that, when God declares himself this? The Lord of heaven's army, the God of Israel. This gets me excited when I read that. Look what it says now. "Do not let your prophets and your fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord." Stop buying somebody else's dream. Stop letting somebody else give you a dream. For many of you here, your dreams are based off of what the Post The hottest post tomorrow will be on Facebook. That's going to be your dream. Oh, that's my dream too. Yeah, I think I'll share this 20 times. I think I'll repost it and make it my dream for my life. You know, yeah, this is going to work for me too. You see, many times we want to buy other people's dreams. You know, God's got a dream for your life, and your dream is not everybody else's dream. Your dream is not to be dreaming what everybody else is dreaming. God's got a specific dream for your life. And he says, listen, it's not what they're trying to feed you. Listen, you know what God's dream is this. We get messed up in God's dream, and we think, you know, my dreams are this, and God, I want you to come and bless me. God, come and bless my dream. God, come and bless my dream. You know, I'm a Christian, so now, God, blow on my dream. God, sprinkle your holy dust on my dream and make it work, you know? That's kind of our attitude, right? Well, I'm a Christian now. The favor of the Lord's upon me. So God, bless my dream. And that's really the wrong attitude that God wants us to have. What we need to see is this. Look at this statement. Stop trying. Stop trying to get God to bless my dream and start fitting my dream into God's greater dream. That's where the blessing lies. That's the key. When I bring my dream under God's dream, and what happens is this, that God, you got a greater dream, and does my dreams fit into your dream? See, his purpose first. That should be the dream of every one of us here. God's kingdom first. Your will be done first. God, your purpose first. Let's say it together. God's purpose first. God's purpose first. That should be at the heart of every believer. At the heart of all of our dreams, it should be God, your dream first. God, your purpose first. See, when I align my dreams with God's dream, then I can live with purpose and happiness. How do I live happy? Remember I told you a couple of weeks ago, quit trying to find happiness, learn how to live happy. How do I do that? I do that by simply this, aligning my dream with God's dream. Putting my purpose, God, your purpose first. Where does my purpose fit? So write this down. How do I do this? Number one, reconsider your dreams. Reconsider your dreams. We have many dreams, but how do they fit in God's dreams? This is hard dreams sometimes, right? Hard to open. All right, so we got our dreams that we're walking around under. I've got these dreams for my life. I've got this plan for my life. I've got this dream. God, hey God, bless my dream. God, can you peek over there and look at my dream? We got to reconsider our dreams. Does my dream elevate me, or does my dream elevate God? That was good. The first service didn't get that one, so hopefully you wrote that down. Does my dream elevate me, or does my dream elevate God? God, it's your purpose first. Pastor Jeff, give me a hand here. See, my role as a believer is this. There's nothing wrong with dreaming, nothing wrong with having vision, nothing wrong with knowing my purpose. But all that has got to fit under the bigger picture of God's dream for my life. All of that's got to come under submission to God's dream for my life. So where does my dream fit? Under God's dream. Where does my purpose fit? Under God's purpose. I got to bring this under submission. It's God's purpose first. My dream is there, but this purpose, first of all, it's got to submit to God's purpose for my life. What's the why behind it? Why do I want to succeed? Why do I want to? Because I want to be a bigger blessing to the kingdom of God. Why do I want to have success? So I can reach more people for God. Why? Because I want to influence more people. Why do I want to be debt free? So I can bless more people. Why do I want to have a bigger home? So I can bring more people in to tell them about Jesus. Why do I want to do this? Because everything I have should fall first under the purpose of God. God first. This is where the blessing comes. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. The blessing comes when I aligned my dream under God's dream. So how do I do that? Well, I pray about your dreams. I know it's a noble concept, right? Include God in the process. Are all these dreams coming from you, or have you prayed about these dreams? God, give me your dream. God, give me your dream. Give me my purpose, Lord. I want you to speak to me. You know, it's an amazing thing. The Bible says that if we will talk, God will answer. If we will listen, God will speak. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. The Holy Spirit is leading us. But many times we have a conversation about our dream and our purpose, and it never includes the Holy Spirit. We never ask Him what He wants. We never ask Him how that fits under God's will first. And then we wonder why they get stuck. And we wonder why they don't succeed. We gotta come in. So let's ask. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into this process. Let's learn to surrender my dreams to whatever God has first in my life. God, I surrender my dreams to whatever you want first. Am I willing to let go of my dream to grab God's dream? If not, you got the wrong dream. You're hanging on too tight. Am I willing to let go of my dream and say, God, I'll grab your dream first? And I promise you this, if you'll do that, God will always bring that dream back at some point in your life and give it to you on a silver platter. I've seen it. I've experienced it. But when I let go of something that I really wanted and say, God, I'm going to grab your dream, I'd much rather have God carrying my dream and me grabbing a hold of his than me grabbing mine by myself, okay? And so this is what happens. I learn to surrender my dream to his dream. This is how I bring it under subjection. I pray about it. I open up the word of the Lord. God, believe it or not, Scripture has a lot to say about our purpose, a lot to say. Is this going to help me love more people? Is this going to help me love God more? Is this going to help me be a bigger blessing to the kingdom? Is this going to help me put God first? Is this going to help me showcase what God has done? Is this going to help me have a voice of God? Is this going to help me have a light where I'm at? What am I doing? Pray about it. Bring wise counsel around you. That's why DC Groups, when we get ready to launch them in a few weeks, we're having a big Vision Sunday here. We're going to be talking about a lot of new things. We're kicking off here. And we're going to have some new group ministry started, DC Groups. It's going to be awesome. You need to be involved in those. Why? Because you need wise counsel around you. You need people you can process through and talk about your dreams and your struggles and talk about, hey, you know, I'm seeking God's will, and talk about it with people and let godly people who have struggled and made mistakes and have seen God bless in their life say, hey, yeah, this is what you do. Surround yourself with wise counsel. Reconsider your dreams. Number two, write this down. Work while you wait. I know it's a noble concept, isn't it? Work while you wait. How many people love to wait? Come on, raise your hand. Do you love to wait? How many people are like me? You hate waiting. Oh, I hate waiting. I hate long lines. I cannot lie. Okay, I hate them. I hate long lines. They drive me crazy. I'd rather go sit and have a snow cone on the bench and let the kids wait in line for an hour and a half. I'm not going to do it. I don't care how good the ride is. I can't. It drives me crazy. I go crazy in those tight lines. You get in those KO. It just drives me crazy. I will pay the extra money for the fast pass to cut to the end of the line. Either that, or I'll grab a wheelchair and tell my son, you just hurt your leg, didn't you? Yeah, okay. Now get into the choice. We're going to go to the front of the line. I'm lying. I wouldn't do that now. Anyway, maybe I have in the future. I mean, in the past, but we're not all perfect. All right, Jeremiah 29, look what it says here. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for how many years? Come on, let's say it together. 70 years. Let that encourage you this morning. Boy, it's not enough that we had to walk in the water to hear this today, Pastor. Now you're really encouraging. Plan B can last 70 years. This is what God said. God said, listen, you're going to be here 70 years. See, dream and timing don't always go together. Our dream and God's timing don't always link up to the way we think it should go. And what you got to realize is this, is even when I don't feel it, even when I don't see it, even when I don't know what's happening, I am not alone. Doesn't mean God is not working on my behalf. Doesn't mean that God's not bringing my dreams to pass. Doesn't mean that God's not going to fulfill my purpose. God has not abandoned you. You are not going to be destroyed. He's got a future for you of hope. He's got a future for you to prosper. And even though you got plan B right now and you're living in exile and you never saw yourself where you're at right now, doesn't mean God has forgotten you. He is still working behind the scenes to fulfill his promise. But it may be a while. I just want to be honest. It may be a while. You can buy a book and say, all right, I'm claiming it in 60 days. It's going to be done. It may work. It may be 60 years. I don't know. God says this, but it doesn't mean that God's not working. God's timing is not our timing. So what do you do when you're waiting on God's timing? What do you do when you gotta live there for 70 years in exile? What do you do then? My dream is to be back home, to have back my livestock, to get back my farm, to get back my ranch, to go back to my city. That's my dream. But God says, I'm going to be in Babylon, man. We're going to be here for 70 years. Now what do I do? Well, look at God's response. Jeremiah 29:4. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, God of Israel, says to all the captives. He is exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. He goes, I want you to build homes. He goes, I want you to put together a plan. God's got a plan, even in exile. Are you there? God's got a plan, even in exile. Build homes, begin to plan. Begin to plant things. Plant gardens, eat the food they produce. He goes, marry, have children, and may those children grow up to have grandchildren. Some of you say, amen, who are looking for grandchildren. Come on, you need your kids to get this word. He goes, go and have many grandchildren. I did my work. Some of you need to do that now. Do many grandchildren. He goes, hey, while you're in exile, multiply. Come on, it could be a lot worse. Come on, guys, we get to multiply. Multiply. We'll keep going. Do not dwindle away. That's what he says. Do not dwindle away. When you're in plan B, he says, don't dwindle away. And this is what happens to so many of us, even Christians. Plan B comes. We never see ourselves walking through the season of exile. And when that happens, we're like, oh, God, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? God, in the history of time, you've never abandoned anybody. But God, why have you forsaken me now? And we dwindle slowly away. Why are you dwindling? Well, I'm in exile. I had a dream. I had a plan. I didn't see this coming. See, many times exile hit us just like a ton of bricks. We never saw it coming. Boom. There it is. How do I respond? How do I respond? He says, now I want you to work while you're there. Work for the peace and the what? Prosperity of the very city I sent you into exile. So the Babylonians kicked them out, took their stuff, took them captive, and now God says, I want you to work for them and help them to prosper. You're talking about messing with your plans. Some of you here, well, I didn't get the promotion. I hate this job. I'm just counting the days until I can find a new job. Well, what do you do until you find a better job? You cause the job you're at to prosper. You work hard there, showing that even though things may not go your way, even though you may get pressured, maybe things are not going the way you think, you're still going to show an attitude that I work for God first, and I'm going to cause all things to prosper that he puts in my hand. That's why. Because God is going to do something through that exile. God's going to do something through that process. It's not about you. It's about him. And so he expects me to work and help them to prosper. Because I want you to put plans while you're in exile. See, it's in the waiting, man. God's doing something. Do what I can do in this season of life and let God prepare you for the next season. It's in the waiting that God does the most good in our lives. It's in the waiting that God begins to chisel away the edges that need to be off our life. It's in the waiting that he molds us into the vessels he wants us to be. It's in the waiting that he changes my attitude. It's in the waiting that he changes my heart. It's in the waiting that he humbles my spirit. It's in the waiting that he crushes me but lifts me back up. Just because you're waiting doesn't mean you do nothing. And that would make a great message, wouldn't it? Do something. Remember a couple of weeks we talked about that. Just learn to do something. Quit sitting around saying I'm waiting for this plan to come, this dream to come, this purpose to come. Quit sitting around waiting for things to come. Well, I'm in exile. Do something today. What can you do today? My dream may be a lot bigger, but what can I take one little step toward it today? What step can I do in faith today? What good can I do today? Who can I help today? Who can I serve today? Who can I help prosper today? I want to multiply. I want to put a plan. And number three, write this down. Trust God's future. Learn to trust God's future. It's easy to trust our future, but how about trusting God's future? Look what 29:11 says again. Now, let's read it again. After hearing all of this, let's read this verse again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. Even though you're walking through maybe your toughest season you've ever walked through, even though you're walking through plan B and you said, I never would have thought I would be walking down this road, God says this, I still have good plans in store for you. I still have a future in store for you. You will not be destroyed. He goes, I want to give you the future and a hope. See, God's got a future and a hope for us. And even sometimes we can't see it, but the future and a hope, it basically translates to a hopeful ending. There's a hopeful ending. Remember, people, this world is not our home. Read the end of the book. We already win. Let me say it again. We already win. The fight's been fixed. The victory is already ours. Don't let the temporary plan B take your eyes off the prize, which is eternity with Jesus. We're going to live eternity in heaven. We're going to live eternity with our Savior. We're going to live eternity blessed of God. And just because I'm in exile right now, and maybe it's going to be 70 years, maybe your kids will see your dream. Maybe it's your grandkids will see your dream that you had here on earth. But one thing you're going to have for eternity, you are secure in God, and you're going to spend eternity with God. Quit letting the temporary take your eyes off the big picture that the fight's already fixed. We win for eternity. That's why I can trust in God's dream. That's why I can trust in God's plan. Because it's already taken care of. He's already got this. So what do I do until I get there? I work where I'm at. I multiply where I'm at. I want to take as many people with me as I can. I want to shine his light to everybody I can. I want to throw out the lifeline to everybody I can. I want to show God's love to everyone I can. I want to help fund kingdom. I want to help build churches. I want to help send missionaries. I want to help rescue girls. I want to do all these things. Why? Because it's God's plan, and my plan submits under his plan. Come on now. Don't let yourself dwindle away. Trust God's plan. God's no means not yet, or he has a better plan. Just because you get a no right now, I wanted to do this or do that, and it didn't work out, doesn't mean God is mad at you. It just means it's either not the right timing, or it means he's got even a better opportunity waiting for you. I remember early on when I started Destiny, I had a family who was coming and had a young guy who had given his heart to Christ, and he'd been listening to me teach, and he was one of these guys who, you know, he was so young in God that he actually believed everything I taught out of the Word of God and applied it, and it actually worked in his life. It was amazing, you know. He didn't have a long time to get contaminated and think he knew what better than what, you know, we were teaching. So, come on, that's a little joke there for all of us. All right. So, he was really living by faith, and he came to me as a pastor. He goes, man, he goes, I wanted for this promotion in the company I was at. He was a young executive in the company. He goes, I want to grow in this company. He goes, but I found out some things that I need to let the boss know, that my boss is doing some things that aren't right in the company. And he goes, I just with integrity, what do I do? But I want to grow in this company. And, you know, and he goes, but should I keep my mouth shut or should I tell my boss what I found out? And I said, well, you got to make that decision on your own. I said, but I believe if you honor the Lord, God's going to honor you. So if God's speaking to you to go to the main owner and tell him what's going on, I said, God's going to honor you through the process. And so he goes, yeah, okay. So he prayed about it. He went to the set appointment with the owner of the company and told the owner of the company what the boss was doing. You know what happened to him? How many think he got promoted? You think that would be? I'd love to tell you what happened. It's not what happened. He got fired. I was like, man. He came to me, Pastor, I did what you told me. I got fired. Dude, you shouldn't listen to me. I was just listening to Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil said that. I don't know. No, I'm playing. But I was like, dude. I said, just trust the Lord. God's got a plan. Within 2 weeks, now he got 2 weeks' pay. And within 2 weeks, He got hired by a different company, making twice the money he was making at the company he was at, and got a promotion within that new company. See, God, I'm just telling you, God's plan doesn't always look like our plan. God's plan doesn't always look like our plan. If you get mad, say, all right, I did this, and now instead of getting better, it got worse, and I dwindle away, I lose my eyes on the opportunity, God, when I just submit to your plan. Whether it's in 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 years, whatever it is, I know you're going to work it out for my good. He causes all things to work together for our good. Simply meaning this, anything the enemy has that wants to destroy our life, anything the enemy puts together, plan B, plan C, plan D, God's way ahead of him. He's already got a plan out of it. He already had a plan to send his son Jesus. When we remember what happened in Adam and Eve in the garden, he already had a plan to bring us out of that, and it was through his son Jesus on the cross. It took a while, didn't it? He took his time getting them there. But he did. He followed through. He's our Redeemer today. And so I want to close with this today. I've shared before with you some of the struggles I've had over the last year and a half, 2 years in my own life. And one of the things that I was struggling with about 18 months ago was I just came to a place in my life where I was thinking, God, where am I going the next half of my life? Where am I at? You know, and I was going to ask God that question. And I simply came to God and I said, God, if you want me to pastor, I'll pastor. But if you want me to just go support another pastor somewhere and just get a job and go help just be working in another church, serving another pastor, I would do that. If you never want me to pastor again, I'd do that. And I wasn't having thoughts of quitting the ministry. Don't get me wrong. But it was just something, Pastor Tom, inner struggle that I was having. And it was like I had to come to the point where my identity wasn't wrapped up in being a pastor. That I wasn't doing pastor because that was my identity. I was doing it because it was God's plan. And so I remember that point one night. I broke down in tears. I said, God, I lay down my plan under your plan no matter what you want. God, if you want me to pastor, I'll pastor for the rest of my life. If you want me to do something else, I'll do something else. And I can tell you in that moment when I surrendered to God's will, something broke in my heart. Something broke in my spirit, and I haven't been the same since then. It's changed me. It's changed me, and it's changing me. I've never felt more at peace where God's got me. I've never felt more like God's anointing is with me. I've never felt more like brighter for the future where God's taking me and taking us. And that came when I just had to have that moment where I had to surrender my will. All right, God, it's not about me. It's about you. What do you want? I think all of us here, we've got to have that moment. God, I got a lot of big dreams. Nothing wrong with dreams. The Bible talks about dreaming big dreams. Nothing wrong with not having plans. God wants us to have big plans. He said, write down the vision so people can read it and run with it. See, God's all for that. But all those have to come first and foremost. My purpose, my dream, everything first and foremost has got to be surrendered to God's will. After that, then I can start a process. Next week, we're going to talk about the process. Kickstarting our process. What does God want me to do now to walk this out? I want you to bow your heads. As you bow your heads today, I just want to simply ask you this question. If you're here and say, Pastor, I've never even surrendered my life to Jesus at all, more or less my will. I've never asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And this is where it all starts, right here. Before you can surrender your will, before you can surrender your dreams, your purpose, you first of all got to surrender your heart. If you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus and say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, we won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. But we want to give you a chance to respond. If that's you today, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ in my heart. Just let me know it's you. You're doing that today. Raise your hand if that's you. Make sure you have that opportunity today. Thank you for those hands. This is what we're going to do. We're going to say this prayer. I want you to say it out loud with me if you raised your hand. And as Christians sitting around you, we'll say it out loud with you as well to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I give you all of my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you receive the Lord this morning for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah. Before you leave today, I want to invite you to stop back here to our hub back here to the left. We got a free Bible we'd love to give you and some other things in there. We'll make sure you place it in your hands if you prayed that prayer for the first time. I want you to stand on your feet. How many today say, Pastor, man, you're preaching to me. I've got to trust God during the exile. I got to be busy during the exile. I got to quit waiting for the next thing and waiting for this. I got to just, but you're preaching right to me. Anybody here, one of these points hit you today? Okay. Yeah, lots of people. Hey, we're there. That's where we live our life. We live our life in plan B. Very few people live out plan A, okay? Most of us have plan B and then plan C and plan D, okay? It just goes that way. Life never goes the way we think it is. I can't control that. I can only control how I respond during exile. I can only control how I work, how I plan, how I multiply, how I surrender to God's will during exile. And if I do that, no matter if I'm in Babylon, I'll eat at the king's table in the middle of Babylon, Daniel. I'll eat at the king's table, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'll eat there in the middle of Babylon because I work and I multiply and I honor the Lord even through Babylon. That's what happens. That's what happens. So today, we're going to sing this song in closing. And what I want to do, I want you to say, God, I'm surrendering to your will in my life today. God, I'm bringing my dreams under your dreams. I'm bringing my purpose and saying your purpose first. Come on, let's praise him. Can I invite you to lift your hands up? I want to pray for you before you leave today. Father, I thank you. But God, we are learning how to multiply in exile. We're learning how to surrender in exile. God, I pray right now that God, we would say your kingdom first, your purpose first in our life, God. May our dreams, may our purpose, may our plans all fit underneath the umbrella of putting you first, God. May we first surrender to that first today. We're saying yes, God. We're willing to let go of our dream and grab your dream. If that's what you ask, whatever you ask, God, we say yes. Your kingdom come first, God, today. Kickstart us, God. Kickstart us as we release our dream and our vision to you. Kickstart us today as we grab a hold of your purpose, God, knowing you more and loving others and teaching them to do the same thing. God, teach us what it means, God. Kickstart in our heart, God, a passion to grab a hold of your dream. Kickstart in our heart that we've already won. Eternity's already set. So now let's take as many people with us as possible. And Father, I thank you for what you're doing and going to do throughout this whole series. Let me say together, amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord one more time. Now remember, next week, kickstarting our process. Without the process, it's just a dream. Next week, we're going to learn God's process. God bless you. Turn to somebody and say, it was so good to be with you today. We love you.